102.3 WBAB, Long Island's number one rock station, and 106.1 WBLI. Good morning. My name is Fingers, and welcome to Plugged Into Long Island. May is Motorcycle Safety Awareness Month, and I have Don Gomo from GoMotorcycling.org and also a writer of the Safety Skills column in American Iron Magazine. Welcome back, Don.
Good morning. How are you doing?
I'm doing very well. And thank goodness we seem to finally have let go of winter.
Yes, it still seems to be lingering on. I think we're going to go a week of spring and then summer.
Yeah, it's going to be, and it's probably going to be a really hot summer. I'll tell you one thing that immediately jumps to mind when it comes to safety and motorcycling and this crazy winter that we've had is obviously all the sand that is still on the roads and the kabillion potholes.
Oh, absolutely. The winter has been brutal on the roads. Potholes, even if you're in cars, they'll swallow you up.
Yeah.
Now that we're starting to ride motorcycles, season is upon us. The repairs aren't coming as quick as we're riding, so you really got to pay attention to the road ahead of you and take precautions.
My favorite day during the beginning of motorcycle season is when the clocks change. For me, because I start work at 2 o'clock in the afternoon and I get out at 7, and that 1 hour that shifts gives me the opportunity to walk out of the building in the light.
Right, yes.
So throughout this, I'd ride through the winter. I don't care if it's, 30 degrees out. Mm-hmm. However, when I get out in the dark and it's winter, you don't know where the black ice is. You don't know where the sand left over from the last storm
is. I try to ride year-round, and my concern, especially in the winter, is any days where there's moisture or snow, I won't take that black ice chance. But if it's been dry for a while, the sand and salt is more of an issue of if you're like on really aggressive, twisty roads, but you're not doing that in the winter.
Right, right. So, but even coming up in a neighborhood, a little bit fast, and a kid runs out or whatever— 9 times out of 10, at the end of the block where everybody's stopped and stuff, all that sand is accumulated on the turn.
And that loss of traction can really wake you up.
Yeah. Yes, it can. What do you feel, with your expertise in the field, what is the biggest misconception as far as coming to safety for motorcyclists? For example, there is an adjustment that you have to make in your judgment when you're watching a bike come at you versus a car. They think that the same kind of timing.
The depth perception for an average motorist, we're smaller in size. It's harder for them to judge our speed oncoming. Sometimes they don't even see us because of our size. We blend in with the surroundings. If we're a large vehicle behind us, they may not even see us and just see the large vehicle.
Right.
So, as far as vision, it's limited for drivers. Also, they're not trained to be aware of us.
This is true. That's what we're trying to do today. Make not only motorcyclists aware of the public, but the public aware of the motorcyclists.
Oh, absolutely.
It's a two-way street.
It's a share the road program idea with New York State, but the responsibility falls on both ends. Motorists need to be aware of us. Nearly 50% of the motorcycle accidents involve another vehicle. That's a lot. Yep. But if you spin those statistics around, 50% of them are single vehicle. That means it's the motorcyclist had a fault in it.
Yep.
And some studies indicate that even though those other 50% of motorcycle accidents with other vehicles, 50% of those, the rider had some fault to the outcome. So now you're looking at nearly 75% of the accidents, the rider was at fault or partially at fault. As much as we say you got to watch out for the other guy, we have to watch out for ourselves,
yes,
too.
Yes, we absolutely have to be responsible. I mean, certainly in the first point about having depth perception and being able to judge the speed of a bike coming on, if you're speeding, you just add an insult to injury.
Sure, more you risk, the more you take the risk, the odds are going to be against you. As a motorcyclist, if you have the thought process that I know how to ride, you're already assuming risk. Most people can learn to operate a motorcycle.
Mm-hmm.
The Russians can teach bears in the circus to ride dirt bikes, so most people can learn to ride a motorcycle. To ride it correctly and properly takes education, practice, and skill. If you're not doing that, you're increasing your risk. As long as motorcycling's got a lot of testosterone, a lot of ego associated to it.
Sure.
So if you keep saying, I know how to ride and they got nothing to teach me, well, you might be wrong with that. even if you take a course, whether it's through a state program or independent school, it may cost you $100. But if you learn just one thing that you've never knew before,
right,
that could be one thing that could save your life. That's worth $100 to me.
Absolutely. Especially when you're talking about being in an area like Long Island, you're taking a risk bringing yourself out in a car. Across the street, riding a bicycle.
We have the congestion and traffic against us. And anybody that's left their driveway and been on one of the parkways or the expressway during rush hours, you know you're dealing with people that don't care about, they don't even care about large trucks. They'll cut them off.
Right.
So we have to really be aware. I don't tell people to ride paranoid, but be aware. You got to, you know, there's always adjustments to make.
Right.
If it means taking 5 extra minutes to get home or get somewhere else because you got to slow down, it may be worth it.
Yeah, I mean, 5 minutes getting anywhere is not going to, you know, not going to be a life changer.
You're lucky you get on time in Long Island anywhere you got to go.
Yeah, right? This is true. Being on the back of a motorcycle, and you are certainly, you know, I mean, it says it in the manual when you get it, could cause injury or death.
Right, yeah.
And or death.
What your mother told you about them is true. They're dangerous, and you can die on the things.
I think, you know, as you say, the bravado and the ego and gets into it. One of the things I think that there's a loss of is they think, and I don't want to generalize, but there's certainly a reason to almost, that because I'm on the bike that I know what I'm doing and I know where I'm going and everybody else should kind of just watch out for me. And as long as I get from point A to point B safely, then everything is fine. Well, you may have gotten there safely, but how many people did you piss off on the LIE?
Oh, absolutely.
How many people did you jar as you buzz them because you cut lanes or you're doing a wheelie down the LIE? Mm. Now, I'm not talking about all riders. Certainly, you know, there are many of us that ride and we all have a propensity to
absolutely
crack the throttle a little up, but there's some stuff that you just plain don't do in public roads.
Right, and there's actually a very small percentage of those riders that do those stupid things.
Right.
There's probably a decent percentage of riders that do something that they're really not aware that they're doing, and it may be an issue or it may not be, but because, like you said, their mindset is, you know, I'm on a bike, you should watch out for me. Well, sure they should, but you have responsibility too.
Well, quite frankly, if you're doing stuff where you're acting like a jackass on the bike, you are certainly hurting the community of motorcycling because there's a tendency for everybody to lump everybody together, especially in this country.
Absolutely. And motorcyclists, whether it's Long Island or throughout the country, we're a small percentage of vehicle operators on the road. And there's a lot of people that don't like motorcycles, period. It doesn't matter that we do good things, raise money for charities or anything. They just don't like it. Whether it's a perception that they've seen idiots ride down the road or people doing stupid stuff or just whatever reason they have, they just don't like motorcycles.
I could have soared the wild ones when they were younger. Yeah. Made a decision.
If they're still soiled from that, they got a problem. But
the best course of action to take as a motorcyclist to prepare yourself and the public at large is to what?
Several things. Before you hit it on, go the road. I hate to say hit the road because it always has a bad sound to it. Before you head out on the road, you should be mentally prepared. You're ready to go, you know. And when you're mentally prepared, you should be physically prepared. You're not ill. You're not feeling ick or anything because that's going to add risk.
Certainly not on medication.
Definitely not. Make sure that your motorcycle is in the shape that it's supposed to be to operate properly. And when you head out, always be aware of everything. Take in all the surroundings, all the information, because there's tons of information. A lot of accidents happen. If you remove intersections from the picture, a lot of motorcycle accidents happen on curves and turns and radiuses that are single vehicle because people are either going too fast or they're braking incorrectly in a turn or they're intoxicated. The numbers vary in the region.
Trying to shift in the turn.
Yeah, there's ways of doing things, and you can do that stuff, but if you don't know how, or if you're just working through it, perhaps the education route is a good way to go.
What are some of the outlets, or maybe inlets is better accurate, to go and find the professional safe way to get the information?
New York State has a motorcycle safety program, and their website is nysmsp.org. They list the schools that are throughout New York State. I know on Long Island there's three schools. There's Traumas that has been around for a long time. The original founder of Traumas was very well known for his motorcycle safety and education and developing programs. There's also Big Apple School. There's On the Road Again. So there's several outlets. And there's also independent schools where they're not a state program, and they'll teach you too. So the internet, you could find the information real quick. And the course is for somebody that has a license that wants to improve their skills, range anywhere from a five-hour class to a full-day class, and dollar-wise, probably between $100 and $125, or maybe a little bit more.
Certainly worth the investment to protect
yourself.
Sure.
I mean, one afternoon, you can learn a lot, or one afternoon, you can find out that you've been doing a lot of things wrong.
Yeah, because there's this tendency that, well, I made it through. I've been riding 5 years. I do this.
Right. I've seen
it's just a matter of numbers.
A lot of riders that have come to courses that have been riding for 20, 30 years, and they do these courses, and I ask them, how did you live so long on a motorcycle? Because your skills are horrendous. And obviously, they take offense.
Sure.
But I said, knock it down a little bit and just take a look at it. What we're teaching you is, for this instance, a basic skill, and you're troubled with it. That should raise some flags for concern for yourself.
Sure, sure. If you're just tuning in, good morning. This is 102.3 WBAB and 106.1 BLI. You're plugged into Long Island with Don Gomo. He is a safety instructor and a contributing writer for American Iron Motorcycle. You can check out his column Slow Ride this month. And also gomotorcycling.org is his website where you can find a world of information.
Yes, I have a lot of information there, especially for Motorcycle Awareness Month. There's links to information that we as motorcyclists can present to drivers. Listen, as much as we're riders, bikers, whatever you want to call yourself, we have friends that don't ride.
Sure.
And half of them think we're crazy for doing so. But if we have some information to give them, it may be beneficial to them, may be beneficial to us.
Or the guy down the road.
Yeah, sure, absolutely. You know, when you're in a conversation with people that don't ride, automatically the stories come up. I knew a friend, and he was in this accident, and
yep,
he got
it always
killed
turns to that.
And I don't want to really hear that myself, you know.
And that's not being closed-minded or ignorant to what's going on or trying to push it out. It's just that you're right. Everybody has a horror story. Nobody ever comes up in conversation. You know, I heard if you do this or you do that, you know, some kind of positive element. Right. Outside, you know, you'll hear conversations. People, I heard this bike run raised this amount of money. Mm-hmm. Blah, 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 blah. But when you get down to the minutia of riding and just it's somewhere along the way, I think the ultimate goal for a rider is to become one with his machine.
Oh, absolutely.
Because once you know that weight, and it, interestingly enough, in your latest column, Slow Ride, you talk about how much is involved in going slow versus going fast.
Absolutely.
And some of the
just about anybody could go as fast as they want.
Yeah, anyway,
in a straight line. Just crank on that throttle and scream like a little girl if you had to. But to ride slow takes a little bit of skill, and that's something that bewilders a lot of riders. They get intimidated by it. Especially ones that are riding on larger motorcycles, the big cruisers like Harleys or big Goldwings and
look
stuff.
Look at the police department guys. They're on huge motorcycles, and they're doing the pile cone turns and
absolutely.
Hairpin
and
turns
and they maneuver
real slow.
With such grace. You stand there in awe. But that's something that just about any rider can achieve with
practice.
Proper education and a lot of practice. And when you do take courses to improve your skill, you should practice what they teach you. If you don't, you're going to lose it. It's a combination of mental processing and muscle memory. You want to get that down to like the second
nature.
That was
one of the first things that I learned when riding, that muscle memory thing, that you after you shift and stuff, you start to learn the sounds of the bike and the feel of the bike, and that wrist action, that muscle action in your hand, as well as in your shoulder and in your spine as you move, becomes almost thoughtless. It just happens on its own. It's that muscle memory.
And that's what you want, especially if you're practicing emergency maneuvers, quick braking, swerving and stuff. You don't want to just take the course, do it, and say, oh, I did it. Because if you need that skill and you don't have it practiced to a second nature, that muscle memory, it won't be there. And split seconds can make a difference between impact or not.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, there's no guarantee that you'll never have an accident or you'll never have a crash. We all have to assume and understand that risk.
Well, that's why we wear helmets and leather and things to protect our bodies and stuff. There's always going to be the possibility of going down. Wouldn't it be great to know what to do on the way?
Right, and this is one thing car drivers don't understand what involved on our end for operating the motorcycle. They just see us riding. They don't understand that there's an awful lot increased skills to operate a motorcycle. You're using both hands between clutch and front brake. You're using both feet between rear brake and shifting.
Right.
There's weight shifting on slow speeds. There's leaning.
There's a lot of processes
we go on where they just climb in the car, they close the door, put it in park, step on the gas and go, and they're surrounded by steel airbags. They got cameras telling them that there's something coming up behind them on the side of them from the sky, whatever.
Yeah, well, they have to have that so they can make their Facebook posts.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's a problem when you talk about that. Texting and phones, and there's studies that are showing that over the past few years, nearly 50% of the accidents, all accidents, cars, everything, are because of inattentive drivers.
Yeah.
That's a big problem.
Yeah, I mean, when you consider the fact that, like, you know, from growing up myself, driving was always looked at as a privilege. You know, you go, you do the training, you get the license, and then you...
That seems to have been lost over the years.
Yeah, now it's like, I have a right. Right. And, but you know what? We all have a right to be alive on the road,
absolutely,
too, whether I'm in a bike or a semi.
Right.
I
go home, out on a ride, anybody goes on a ride, they have the right to be able to get back home.
Yeah.
Whether the people want them there or not, that's a different story. We can't talk about that. Here, that's a whole nother...
Yeah, it's a whole other show.
But we should have that right. And some of it does fall under our responsibility to make sure that we're at the level we're supposed to be.
Yeah.
As well as the drivers out there. And it's tough to get the message across drivers.
One of the things you can do is pay attention to the good work that Texting Awareness Foundation is doing. Their line is, what are you looking at? It should be the road, nothing else. You know. Yeah. And unfortunately, I've seen people... the other day I was in the car, and I rolled up to the light, and I'm waiting for the woman in front of me to go when the light changes. Now, she's looking down. I assume she's looking at her phone, so I give a hoot. And then I get to where the road widens, and I go around her. She's reading a book.
Okay. Yes.
I was like, wow.
That seems to be almost like old school. You and I are old enough to remember the hazards we saw back then were people either reading the newspaper or putting makeup on.
Yeah.
Yes, it's still hazardous, and they still do it. But now these cell phones, smart pads, everything, and people have this need to be always connected for some reason.
Yeah.
You know? And I can't see what any phone call or text could be worth somebody's life in the worst case. You look down for that split second, whether it's your own driving or someone you're involved with in an accident.
I saw an incident once, and I almost just wanted to pull over the bike and just get off the bike for a minute because I just couldn't believe what I was watching. Somebody was on their phone, and they weren't paying attention, and they drifted into the rider's lane. Okay, so scared the rider. He hit the throttle. It startled the woman. She moved back into her lane. For the most part, it should be over there. Everybody got an awareness, scared, move on. But this motorcyclist felt that it was necessary to ream this woman for not paying attention. Now you have a spat, for lack of a better word, going on in the middle of a highway, going back and forth. Gentlemen, ladies, if you're riding and somebody does something, the worst thing in the world is to perpetuate it or chase them down the road. Because even if nothing happens to you and you're yelling at some woman for being on a phone and she crashes,
you're not paying attention to what you're doing.
Right. And now you're in the hook for...
And we as riders have to recognize that a large majority of the actions that drivers do are not intentional.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, they may switch lanes into our path But if we're in their blind spot, well, maybe we're a little bit at fault. But, you know, they don't see us. Once again, the size issue, it's not their fault. They're not aware of motorcyclists because they're car drivers. We as motorcyclists, we see every bike that goes by. Whether we like the type or not, we notice every because we're in tune.
Yeah, yeah. We can hear the bike coming 3 miles away.
Absolutely. Like if you buy a new car, all of a sudden you see that new car everywhere.
Exactly.
You quit smoking, you see everybody that's smoking around you. You get these weird in-tune things. But if it's just a car driver and they have no interest or knowledge or care about motorcycles, they're not in tune to them. So should they be? Yes. Can we get them to be? That's a big struggle. And sure. That's what, you know, there is an organization on Long Island, Long Island Abate.
Great organization.
And they're doing a phenomenal job of promoting motorcycle awareness. And they're about 750 members strong now. And they're plugging away at it. The best we can do is everything we can to educate the drivers.
Yep.
Whether they're going to listen, you know. Even if we could change a small percentage, we're ahead.
Well, here we are. We're at 106.1 BLI, 102.3 WBAB, plugged into Long Island with Don Gomo, who has a bunch of different things he does on behalf of the motorcycle community, one of which is on website, which is www.gomotorcycling.org. And there's a world of information there. Plus, he writes for Iron Horse Magazine in the safety skills section, and he has this month about slow riding. Interesting how you open up the article of slow riding, you automatically think of the Foghat song. But I won a contest once for the with the 9/11 ride, and at the end of it, they had a party, and you had to go a certain distance on the bike and be last, which is the exact opposite of what we're used to. And I did exactly what you said there, but there is that tendency to want to spread your legs and kind of play
and put the outriggers out
tip-toe,
there,
you know.
and that's something as when you learn to ride skillfully, you realize that keeping your feet on the foot pegs, floorboards, actually gives your bike better balance than if they're way out there. If that bike's going to go, it's going to go.
Yeah,
and then maybe you put your foot out to slow it down. But in most cases, even when we teach classes, once in a while somebody drops a bike. And the reason they're dropping their bike is because they're going 1 to 0 miles per hour and they just fall over. There's really no damage. More damage to their ego than ever to the bike.
Pride's always a bitch.
Oh, yeah. And ego can kill you. That's the tough thing. So one thing I've been working on, I'm in the process of putting together a not-for-profit organization that will be member-supported to help promote more motorcycle awareness and also the benefits of rider education. Tackling that ego is going to be a tough challenge, but I think if you look at just the numbers, out of all the registered motorcycle operators in New York State, less than 1% of them take a rider education class a year. So they're not coming to us, and there's got to be a reason. Either they think they know how to ride, or their fear of dropping the bike, whatever it is. So my
could be simple ego too.
Yeah, you know? And simply ego. I know what I'm doing. So I'm going to go out there with a group of people through seminars, driver education programs, and bring them in to let them recognize what's involved.
We have already established that the public at large motorcycling is much, you know, smaller part of that, of the drivers. So theoretically, we are speaking to more drivers right now than we are to riders. With that in mind, as a person who drives a car and appreciates motorcycles, and maybe more importantly, appreciates being safe on the road, what and where, let's start with what would be some three pointers you would give to a driver seeing motorcyclists in the area, and then where could they go for more information to give themselves, you know, maybe there's a certain way I'm supposed to act while I see bikes.
Well, number one is intersections. That's where the number one conflict between a car and a bike is. Motorists should be more aware of the intersections. And it happens unintentionally. They're looking for a street to turn, so they're looking for the street sign. They're not noticing the small bike coming down the street, and they make that left-hand turn in front of our path of travel conflict. When you're at intersections, be more vigilant. Look twice. There's tons of PSA commercials out there from all around the world where they have this information, and it shows of a motorcycle crashing into a car violently
Yep.
because the person didn't look twice. Look twice at intersections before you
pull out. What's that old saying? Look twice, save a life.
Yeah, absolutely. Look twice. Keep in mind that some motorcycles don't have self-canceling signals. A rider may have forgotten to turn them off, and now he's sending a full signal,
yep.
And you're taking it in the wrong way. Wait a split second. Make sure you know what that rider's intention is. Is he going to go straight or actually turn? There's both fault there, but
right.
Just, you know, a split
second.
Who cares
who's at fault?
Let's save a life. Blind spots.
Yeah.
You know, when we ride, most motorcyclists have a tendency to look over their shoulder for a quick look because the mirrors we have are small on motorcycles.
Sure.
When I was taught to drive eons ago a car, they taught us to look over our shoulder real quick because even though a car mirror is bigger, you still have a big blind spot.
Yeah, I always do it in my car.
And a lot of drivers don't do that. You're lucky if they look in the mirror, first of all.
Halfway into the lane, they decide to put the directional on.
Yes, but always check your blind spots before you do lane changes. We may be there.
Yeah.
So,
Don, I thank you very much for coming in and speaking to us. Give me a website for motorcyclists to go to get education.
For motorcyclists to go to the New York State program, which is nysmsp.org. And for drivers to get some more information, there's a website for car drivers, FORcardrivers.com. And they have a lot of information for drivers to learn what they need to be more aware of when it's dealing with motorcycles.
May is Motorcycle Awareness Month. Don Gomo, he can find his website at gomotorcycling.org. And you can also check him out as he contributes to the magazine American Iron, and this month in the safety skills column, he has Slow Ride, an interesting ride or write-up on riding slow. Thank you very much.
Thank you, and everybody be safe out there, absolutely.
Enjoy the season of motorcycling. It lasts all the way through till January when we do the Cold Finger Run.
And also, if you go to my website, there's some video footage from this year's Cold Finger Run that you could check out.
Very cool. Thanks again. Have a wonderful Sunday. It's 102.3 WBAB and 106.1 BLI. You're plugged into Long Island. Have a good day.
Today in school, I learned a lot. In chemistry, I learned that no one likes me. In biology, I learned that I'm fat. I'm stupid. In English, I learned that I'm disgusting. And in gym, I learned that I'm pathetic and a joke. The only thing I didn't learn in school today is why no one ever helps.
Kids witness bullying every day. They want to help, but they don't know how. Teach them how to stop bullying and be more than a bystander at stopbullying.gov. A message from the Ad Council.
Hey, it's Flint Lockwood here from Swallow Falls. My friends and I have just discovered these amazing living foodimals. But wait, we've also discovered a crisis that needs our help. According to my calculations, 1 in 5 kids in America struggles with hunger. That's almost 17 million kids. Our mission is to help solve hunger by teaming up with the Feeding America Network to get food to kids facing hunger in communities across the country.
Feeding America is a nationwide network of food banks, helping connect children and families who face hunger to billions of pounds of food, reaching shelters, schools, and community centers in every county in America, including yours. Help Flint and the Feeding America Network of Food Banks get food to the people who need it in your community. Find your local Feeding America food bank at feedingamerica.org/hunger.
Together, we're Feeding America.
A message from Feeding America and the Ad Council.
This has been another edition of Plugged Into Long Island, a service of Cox Media Group Long Island. If you're a community leader or not-for-profit organization and would like to be on our show, please call 631-587-1023.